sit down there, relax. Put on a show just for you.
I really don't like that motherfucker.
And you are tuning in to Why Not Sports with the homie D Murph.
So why not? Why not?
Why Not Sports? It impacts your everyday life. Why Not Sports? It's more than on and off the court. Why Not Sports? Hey, Why Not Sports? Yeah, Why Not Sports? It impacts your everyday life. Why Not Sports? It's more than on and off the court. Why Not Sports? Hey, Why Not Sports? D Murph, you a fool for this one. Yeah.
Yes, world. Yep, it's not a fluke. It's not a fluke, I promise. Yes, you see the title. You heard the introduction. But overall, we have director, writer, actor, husband, father, and someone personally who helped me continue to watch this award-winning show to where I had one of the writers and Mr. Rodney Barnes. I've had Michael Cooper, Mr. Delonte D'Souza, and now, again, as you heard from the beginning, Mr. Sean Small, Larry Bird, Patrick. Welcome to Why Not Sports, brother.
Happy to be here, man. Happy to be here.
Oh, appreciate you, brother. And when I tell you winning time, I look it up for my first time listeners. Look it up. I'm not just making this up. It is true. This is a true fact. Look at the hundreds of guests, but the last few names I just named have been on within the last, you know, year and a half or so. But we're going to save the winning time part for last.
All right.
As we enter 2024, I want to just, again, salute you, because as I was doing my research, you was always, no, it's not always, but there was a time to where you, as an athlete, made sure you was preparing yourself for the future, just in case if you didn't go play professionally, by writing or scripting your own, maybe, you know, film, short story, to where you can tell a story, if not your story. And how did that just kind of come about? Was it a dream? Was it a family member? How did that, you know, come about?
Yeah. It's weird, because when I got into college, so like playing varsity basketball, our team was pretty short. So I was like the tallest guy at like 6'4". So I was playing like a stretch five position.
Yes, sir.
Still shoot the three, you know, but probably didn't work on my ball handling skills as much as I should have.
Yes, sir.
So I definitely wanted to continue playing, but I knew I wouldn't be playing at like a D1 level or anything like that. Yes, so I was like, I want to get to those big schools where sports are a big part of the community.
Yes, sir.
I ended up at UC Davis for 2 years trying to figure out what I wanted to do. Like, I had acted in theater my junior and senior year of high school, and then I had acted in my first short film while at Davis, and I was like, oh, this is different, and this is something that maybe I could look at what behind the camera looks like. So I worked with that same director on his next short film, but you know, it was like a small independent shoot. So I was doing everything from like first AC to key grip to all this stuff. And I was like, got to get in this industry. So I transferred to USC, got a film degree from there, and connecting like the sports and like the discipline that we were talking about before the show, right? Of like, it's about that journey more so than that destination. It's like, yeah, I definitely want to get that final product, but I know that it's going to take these steps that are just going to be great, might be tedious. You probably don't want to do it most of the time, but you have to push yourself to, you know?
Yes.
Because also in the creative world, right? Like, as I'm writing a script, I always go through this dialogue in my head, like, it's not where I want it to be. It's not good enough. You should just stop.
Right.
And it's like, no, just keep going. You got to get it out there. And then you can always mold it later if you need to.
Yes, sir.
But I guess a long way of answering your question, there wasn't like a family member or anything like that that pushed me into that world. I mean, my grandmother was an artist, like painting, abstract and stuff like that. But no one like in the entertainment industry or film world. But that crossover even more so was when my friend gave me this book about Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, and like their time at Indiana State and Michigan State called When March Went Mad. I was like, oh, this is interesting. So as I was finishing up at USC, I was like, you know, obviously I was trying to find a way to write a script that I could act that role in. And I looked enough like him. I played basketball, like, you know, the very bottom foundation that is necessary in order to get there, right? And then I can act too, but you know.
And yes, you can, for sure.
Awesome. So that's kind of how it started. And that was back in, I mean, I started researching and writing that in 2014. It's wild to think about. Yeah.
So the part was introducing you regarding Winning Time, what, 6-7 years later, huh?
Yeah. That was the fun part about, because it was such a big audition and big show. When I sent in the self-tape, I was like, that was just, you know, as actors, we kind of, there are roles where you're like, I need this. I really need this. Like, I need to get this. And if I don't get it, I'm going to be so upset. And I'd been doing that for so long. And, you know, you disappoint yourself because you have these expectations that you set and then you might not hit them. Where this one, I was like, ah, it's pretty cool that I got the self-tape. Like, let's do it. Send it in. And then the callback came and I was like, I was pumped. I was like, all right, awesome. That means they liked what I did. Like, right. Let's just have fun with it again. And then when the producer's room callback happened, I remember being on there with Max, Rodney, and a couple, I think, other producers. I forget who was on there because you could only see faces of like 2 or 3 people. Yes. But Max was asking me like, so how much do you know about this guy? And I'm like, well,
exactly.
I've been researching because my story of him was from his senior year of high school through the national championship game in 79. And obviously Winning Time was starting in his rookie season. So I'm like,
absolutely.
I got your backstory.
Absolutely. No, that's
dope. And I think that definitely helped in me getting the role because they were like, oh, we don't need to worry about him and like his knowledge of Bird, because I was on set 2 weeks later. It was a very quick process.
Nice. It's interesting when you look at how, when people say, as an athlete standpoint, they say, if you don't, you know, if you don't stay ready, how will you be ready when the opportunity calls or presents itself? Yep. And you did it. And it was almost like you were preparing yourself without even knowing you were preparing yourself for the ultimate role.
Yeah.
Man, that's inspiring for sure.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, going back to that idea of the journey, right? You don't see how much you accomplish until you look back after a long time, right? Yes, and I mean, there were a lot of circumstances that, like, if I didn't meet the manager that was helping me with my writing project at like the job that I was working at and like all these different things, like I didn't even hear about the audition for Winning Time other than through my sister-in-law's friend who saw the audition. This was during a time where I was just like, I'm just not going to look at, you know, whatever casting sites I was looking at before. I'm just going to focus on my writing. That's how I'm going to get into it. And if I hadn't been telling people around me like what I was working on, she wouldn't have known. I wouldn't have seen the audition for it. I wouldn't, you know what I mean? There's all these like connecting dots and it's just like you do the work and you make sure, you know, others around you know what's going on. And if something happens, it does. And if it doesn't, then you just keep working.
And when I say work, I'm going to tell my age. I was able to catch Larry Bird toward the end of his career, but as a video gamer, the way these games are now, the small details in their shot, their hair, they're just everything detailed. And especially in season two, and I binge watched it and watched it two or three times, and the look, the walk, the swag, the confidence, cockiness, arrogance, the facial hair, the makeup, like the shot, the elbow, as you said, the chicken wing. I'm locked in. I'm locked in. See, I'm locked in. I'm like, wow, he got the tilt. Still, this, I could only imagine the amount of hours that it took to get comfortable to where it was just subconsciously, you were just in that role. Great job. So again,
thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, there was like this, I forget after what episode it came out, but there was this like Twitter video that like put side by side of like me in Winning Time and then Larry Bird shooting like his actual shot. That was the first time I had seen that. And I was like, okay, all that work definitely did pay off. You know what I mean? Everything from like his feet are never squared to the basket, like they're slightly off, and like you said, sir, the chicken wing. It took a long time.
I could imagine.
I mean, season one, I had like 3 weeks of training, which was good in getting like the rudimentary stuff, but it was still like I had to think about the mechanics and like think about the shot and not just be able to be free with it. Right. And then during the off season, like keeping it up. And then season two, we had like 2 months to work on it. And Edon Ravine is like one of the best basketball trainers. And so being able to work with him on that, and he's just like so, my favorite story is when I did like a basketball assessment with him when I first got the role, just to see, you know, they were seeing how much I could actually play. Cause you can always be like, yeah, I played varsity in high school. That could mean like you were the 13th guy on the bench that barely knew how to dribble and shoot, or you were a starter that, you know. And I was getting like really upset with myself within like the first 5 minutes of trying to learn the shot, cause I'm so like competitive in that way.
Yes, sir.
And he's like, take a breath, man. Like your first 5 minutes and you're getting some of the mechanics, but you're also having to destroy what you know of like your shot and then rework it into this. So once that got through of like not being a perfectionist and just letting the process happen, it definitely clicked a lot quicker.
Yes, sir. And I will say it again, the way you talked, the way you move, the French league days, as far as Winning Time is concerned. The everything, it brought me back into that mode as a early 80s baby, and kind of seeing how from Indiana, not French league, but still just being around the area, and just the shot, the trash talking, how during your lunch break at work as a avid hooper.
Yeah,
it's just like whenever I can get the free time, I'm putting up shots, I'm talking trash, I'm seeing how competitive I really am. And then guess like to your point, in that role, I'm gonna go back to work and, you know, figure it out whenever, you know, whatever, you know. Yeah. So man, you did that, man. When you look at the rivalry, I gotta bring up Magic.
Yep.
Mr. Quincy Isaiah, how you doing, brother? I heard from you and others that it was a tight-knit group as far as your bond and your relationship, to where working with one another really wasn't that hard or really wasn't that bad. It made it really fun and overall easy.
Yeah. I think it always makes the work easier when you're friends with someone off camera, especially when you're playing that type of like FU attitude towards the other person. Like Magic and Bird, obviously in real life and in Winning Time, it's like that was their life, that was their mentality. I have to be the best basketball player, and in order to do that, I need to be better than that person.
Absolutely.
It was so like dialed in, and being able to be close with him offset made it easier to just be like, when we're in that character, like we can just go for it, and we know that it's not personal. You know what I mean? and that was like the same with like Solomon, who played Kareem. Same with Delonte and like anyone else on the Lakers bench, or you know, I like being able to do things on set, like we're setting up for a shot and it's like that shot where we're like fighting each other and jostling in the finals.
Absolutely.
And like before, you know, I'm saying things like, yeah, this is the reason why we won this championship. And I'm like, look at my bench compared to your bench and seeing how involved they are right now. You know what I mean? And that would like get under his skin and he could use that take. So just like those small little jabs, like, you know, if you're not comfortable with someone, you might feel like, should I do that? Should I not? But like, we knew that we could go there. And we didn't like being around each other on set when we were in character like that either. It was just like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, what's up?
Oh, man. Oh, that's good, man. I like when Magic was, you know, hurt with the knee. And he was, you know, flicking channels. And they brought you up, Larry Bird. Larry Bird scores this. Larry Bird, you know, Celtics, so many game winning streaks. And he's sitting there like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Worst, right? When you're injured as an athlete and you're seeing that other person do these things and you can't you can't do anything about it. Like, you can't be like, well, I'm gonna go out and score 40. It's just like, well, I gotta take the steps in order for my knee to heal, you know. And no one's seeing that.
absolutely, man. And just how they portrayed it, like you said, from other interviews, the dramatization of it, man, is something I take pride in as a basketball player, as someone who grew up in the 80s and played ball in the 90s. And, you know, it's something that I will forever be, you know, watching, especially as a basketball player, and to also to have you guys who I named to be on this platform, Why Not Sports, man, is definitely, you know, humbling and an honor. Now, I want to kind of backtrack just a little bit because, you know, earlier in the show, I brought up family.
Yeah.
After this role, do your family look at you different? It's like, oh, that's just, you know, that's Sean.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. Because it's like, you know, they've seen how much work I've put into it that was before I even got the role.
There you go.
And like, you know, this is one of those roles where I think, I don't know, there was no like change in character from my end, or at least, I mean, I thought so. I always tell people, like, I got this role when I was 29, and I'm happy that I did instead of like when I was 21, because that could have been like the different, you know, I had 8 more years of life experience where it's like knowing what this industry is, like this role won't technically mean that it leads to another role. Like, you still have to work as hard, if not harder, to get like your next stuff. And like, yeah, I basked in the, you know, the glory of like being able to play one of the best basketball players of all time. But I'm also not gonna, you know, like Bird, I'm not gonna sit back and relax. I'm just gonna keep pushing in order to do that stuff. So in that way, like, my family is like very happy. And it's life changing because it is like a massive role, but they're just like, oh, that's Sean out there. That's awesome. You know?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it, man. I love it. Man, time is flying. Wow. I'm having a good time, man.
Again, yeah.
Well, we have Sean Patrick Small here on Why Not Sports, man. Definitely, again, it's an honor as we begin 2024. I know you said there's a project that you currently are in the finishing touches with. If you want to just elaborate and let the world know, you know, about that and how we can support it in the future.
Yeah. It's a short film called Lost Not Forgotten. I wrote it about 10, 11 years ago. It seems to be like I write these projects a long time ago and then something happens of it about a decade later.
There you go. Plant them seeds, as they
exactly,
say.
Right? Exactly. Yeah, it's about this like high school senior that's dealing with the abandonment of his father through the use of drugs and alcohol. and kind of seeing what his path is in order to break the cycle of addiction in his family. And that has like a place close to my heart because I had a similar situation in my life. But the script is kind of like, what if I went left and how would that look like getting back to the road that I am currently on? You know what I mean? Like, what does rock bottom look like for that person and what would make that shift? So yeah, we were going to shoot that in 2020 of April and, you know,
obviously we know what happened.
Yeah. This whole lockdown thing happened. Right. So that yeah. shut it down.
Years.
And, yeah. Right. Yeah. And then, the good part that held back on like the shooting of it was Winning Time. Both seasons were happening. So I didn't really have time to pre-production and go into production and shoot that. So this year we shot it in November. It was literally, we started shooting 2 days after the SAG strike ended. Like we had the sign off from SAG and all that type of stuff, regardless if the strike ended, but it kind of, it made for an even better time on set. Cause everyone was like, oh, we're, you know, we're back at it. This is a good, you know, reintroduction into getting back on set. And we just had a great time shooting it. So we're now in post-production trying to figure out what film festivals to submit it to, and we're still raising money. So if anyone wants to be an investor or an associate producer or EP or something like that, then we'll probably have like a Zoom fundraiser at some point to kind of show
keep me in the loop.
Yeah, I'll keep you in the loop.
I'll definitely, myself and my audience will definitely let us support and continue to spread the word. Now I'm going to fast forward, well, as of current, when you brought up the Lost and Forgotten film and what you got going, then your personal situation now, Winning Time, as Larry Bird, when he got the call, or when you got the call about Pops and suicide, I could only imagine how close it hit home. So you already have experience, whether on scene and in person. So I'm sure this was like, oh, not as bad, but might still be some pain there. But overall, it's crazy how life tends to your point, comes full circle.
Yeah, it's these tragedies that happen that you don't feel like you have any control over, which myself and Bird probably, when you are losing control in one capacity, you want to gain control in other areas of your life, right? And for Bird, it was basketball. It's like, I can control getting better. I can control how many shots I put up, all that type of stuff.
Absolutely. And then,
yeah, for me, it's almost like this, you know, writing and shooting that short is like a cathartic experience of like just dealing with emotions that you haven't dealt with. And it was scary, to be honest, to get back into that headspace as an actor. But, you know, you were able to just release one, it helps the film, but also like just helps you as a human being. So
yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Again, salute. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for portraying and just being as genuinely who you are and putting everything you have as a fan. That's why when I had the opportunity to reach out to Taylor and the team, and I'm like, I'm gonna follow up until I get them. I'm gonna follow up. I'm gonna get them. This is perfect for what I've already established. You know, no, Winning Time World already has a podcast hosted by Mr. Rodney Barnes and Mr. Max. But at the same time, as a backup here at Why Not Sports with you. Hey, Quincy Isaiah, you up next? Sean, I need that lead. I need magic. I need magic.
If you get him on there, let me know. I'll pop in and just be like, hey, what's up? 1984.
Right? Yes, sir. No. Again, brother, thank you very much, man, for what you're doing. I know we're gonna stay connected to where I can support, we can support as a whole. Now, this is where you can let the world know, man, just how they can find you and this particular link. If you don't have it now, you know, because this episode will be out within the next 2 or 3 weeks that I can have, as far as the description, as far as the donation and things like that. You definitely can let us know. But here you go, brother. You got the floor.
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at Sean Patrick Small. The link for that donation should be in the bio. We actually partnered with a nonprofit who's a fiscal sponsorship called Brave Maker. So any donation is actually tax deductible. So you get a plus for that as well. I'll give you that link and we can go from there. Yeah. Just got to keep creating good art out there, right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. As an independent, as you clearly know, every majority is self-funded.
Yep.
But at the same time, I love what I do. And again, this is more inspiring for me when I continue to get guests that I've watched and done research on. It's like, yes, I actually interact and connect and collaborate. Like, thank you, Lord. I got to keep on pushing, man. So again, thank you. This is definitely a great way for me to start my 2024, and it definitely is more to come for you as well. Looking forward to what's in store for Lost and Forgotten and future, you know, endeavors that you have, man. It's going to continue to not only impact, you know, the world, but possibly back into the sports world or the basketball community. Maybe a season 3. I'm just talking out loud now. But at the same time, man, thank you very much. First time listeners, thank you for tuning in to Avid Listeners. You know what up, y'all? Y'all know how we do it. You can find me on Twitter, formerly known as Twitter. It's called X now, at It's D Murph. Instagram at It's D Murph. Why Not Sports is also on Instagram at Why Not Sports _. And then check out the website where you'll see this gentleman on here as well, www.dmurphspeaks.com. Leave a note, any referrals for any great guests, individuals. Let me know. It don't have to just to be sports. Just anybody in mind, you know, I'll make it work somehow, some way. But world, we love y'all. Continue to be safe. Keep grinding. Keep the faith. Keep on.